Well, it's Thursday evening already for us. Day four of Scandia Sailfor Gold Regatta has come round really quickly. Only two more days to go. It's the final of all of the fleet racing tomorrow, then the middle of the day on Saturday. Matt, another fairly windy day out on the water.
Yes, it was fairly windy. We had breeze in the mid-teens, and then by mid-afternoon it was up into 18 knots, some of the gusts, maybe a touch more in some places. But it was a lot more manageable today than it was yesterday. Yesterday we saw the weather conditions right at the very top end. So a lot more manageable today, and the racing as a result became a lot more tactical. Yesterday it was survival, today it was a lot more tactical, and it threw up some very interesting results on the race course.
Well, today a lot of discards come into count, and also the gold and silver fleets have been out there racing now. So the guys that didn't make the cut have already lost out on any chance of getting in on Saturday.
That's absolutely right. In those fleets that had lots of entries where they'd separated them out into yellow and blue, and there was a qualifying period that finished at the end of yesterday, that's now, as you say, Steve, now that's gold and silver. And effectively it means that it's only the guys and girls that are in gold that can actually stand a chance of getting to the medal race.
OK, well, let's look down at the classes then. And I think Thursday you described as a bit of a upside-down kind of day.
Yeah, I think it's a sort of turnaround Thursday for me. It certainly appeared that way on the water. We had it was very interesting watching some of the racing on the 470s, some of the 49ers. It was the same in the Finn to a certain degree. You're sitting there at the weather mark waiting for the favourites and the hot shots to turn up in the frame in the top three or four. And they weren't there. They were buried down the middle of the pack. And it was fleet after fleet after fleet. We watched this happen. Now, for some people, they managed to extricate themselves out of the middle of that fleet, haul their way back up to the front of the fleet and actually post a pretty good result. Others were faced with not being able to do that and actually ended up with a pretty bad result for them that they're going to have to count as a discard. The irony is that overall, in a number of cases, it's still the names that you'd expect to see in the overall results. So if you just looked at the overall results, you might think, oh, well, not much has changed. But it was a pretty topsy-turvy day.
OK, let's look down the classes in 49ers. Exciting day yet again for them.
It was, yes. The 49ers, it was a lot more manageable today, as a number of them said to us in various interviews during the day. But what's interesting in the 49er class is there's still a result to come in as we do this. We're still waiting for that. But without that result at the moment, it's Pink and Peacock who've taken the lead overall, the British pairing, and they've overtaken the Sabello brothers. And the Sabello brothers have been stamping their authority over this class all week. So that's been very interesting. When you look ahead at who might make it into the medal race, they're just outside it at the moment, but Brotherton and Asquith are hanging on at 11th at the moment, so they've got a bit of work to get into that medal race. So a bit of a turnaround in the 49ers.
The track races today were featured on the website, and that was the 470 men and women. The 470s again split into gold and silver, and the 470 men threw up some interesting results.
Yes, they did. Actually, the Belcher and Page, who are the Australian team, they're the current world champions, they had a pretty tricky day today. They had to accept an 8th and a 15th. They don't normally see that many boats in front of them. But then that still only pushed them down to 3rd overall come the end of the day. And at the top of the field in the 470 men, it's Leboucher and Garros. They're the French team, they're lying 1st overall. Then if you're looking at, of course, a lot of British people looking at the performance in this particular class to see who might go on and be the representative, Patience and Bithell are currently lying 7th, and Asher and Willis at 10th.
OK, and in 470 women, we saw a bit of a defeat for the early leaders right throughout the week.
Yes, we did. Hannah Mills and Saskia Clark, who have been leading this class overall, certainly were yesterday, they've been overtaken. They had a pretty difficult time today with some big results in there. Big as in big numbers, not what they want. But they still end up 2nd overall at the end of the day. Ali and Powery, they are the Kiwi pair, and they are currently 1st overall. And Clark and Hughes, the British pairing, they're 7th overall in 470 women.
Well, you would have said the same about Finns as well, about being the Thursday where things were turning around, because in a race that we featured on the radio station, Ainslie was down in 19th place.
Well, that was remarkable, wasn't it? I mean, absolutely right. If you just looked at the results today, I mean, Ainslie posted, what was it, a 4th in that last race of today. And if you looked at that, you would have thought, didn't have such a good day then, and he didn't manage it 1st. But to watch the race, I mean, as you say, he was down in 19th at the first weather mark. He was buried in the fleet, he had people all over him, and he ground his way through that fleet, and even just on the last leg, having got to sixth, then took another couple of places to get into fourth. So a pretty impressive performance there. He still lies at the top of that class, first overall, and behind him is his teammate Giles Scott, who's second overall.
So nothing particularly changed in the Finn. In the Lasers?
Yes, the Lasers. Tom Slingsby is still dominating that class. He lies first overall. Nick Thompson, the British sailor, is fourth. And Paul Goodison currently lies eighth. And again, it's going to be interesting to see how that pans out, because Goodison has still got his work cut out to get ahead of Thompson. He looks like he's going to make it into the medal racing, but he's still got to get past Thompson to get a place in the test event come August.
Well, the Irish are doing very well on the laser radios, but Annalise Murphy has dropped off a bit. Her results have been up and down a bit, haven't they? And she's third at the moment.
Yes, she is third at the moment. She did remarkably well yesterday in the heavier airs. Not so well today, but she's still up there in the frame. She's third. But it's Van Acker who is first overall, and Marit Baumeister, who's lying second. So two very familiar names at the front of that fleet. And from a British point of view, it's Charlotte Dobson, who's in fifth in the laser radials.
They're going very well there. And Alison Young not having a terribly good day. She had to, count quite a high figure as well. So Alison Young not having a good day.
In the stars, well, Freddie Loof, he's been in the stars for a very long time, and he demonstrated again today why he's just so good at it. Freddie Loof and his crew, Max Salmian, currently lying first overall. They have overtaken Robert Scheidt and Bruno Prada, who are second. And Ian Percy and Andrew Simpson, they continue their slow grind up through the fleet from a disappointing start. They now lie fourth overall. That's pretty good news for them.
Okay, RSXs were out at speed again, probably the fastest on the race course.
Yes, they were. They were blasting around the harbour today, using up just about all of the harbour, actually. And in fact, at one point, had to thread themselves through some of the Paralympic classes. But at the end of the day, it's the Kiwi sailor JP Tobin who lies first overall. And second overall is actually equal second. It's Van Russelberg from the Netherlands and Nick Dempsey from the UK who are currently in second overall.
RSX women?
Marina Alabau from Spain, she's now first. I think that's the first time she's been first overall this week. And then Lee Koretz, the Israeli sailor, she's now currently lying second overall. Bryony Shaw is hanging in there in the medal race contention. She's seventh overall.
So good racing in the harbour, and also good racing for the Paralympic fleet, because yesterday there was only one of the three classes out.
Absolutely right. And one of the classes that didn't sail yesterday was the Scud class, and they managed to get some races in today. And the leaders overall is the Australian pair, Fitzgibbon and Tiche. They currently lie first overall. The other class that didn't get any sailing yesterday was the 2.4 metres, and it's the Frenchman Seguin who is lying first overall. He's often at the front of the fleet. And in the sonar, it's still the Brits that take first overall. In the sonar fleet, Robertson, Stodel and Thomas, they're lying right at the top of the tree.
OK, well, a wealth of material, some fantastic performances out there, and also some very heartfelt interviews as well. And we've chosen an interesting one.
We have, and there's a big focus, of course, on Surfer Gold, with so much pressure on teams, all kinds of teams, using this as part or all of their Olympic selection. There is this focus on the Olympics, but this is a Corinthian event. You turn up, you pay your money, you enter, you go and race, and you race along some of the best people in the world. And there are some remarkable stories about people who've travelled huge distances to be here. I mean, there's 62 nations represented here. And among one of those nations is a South African team in the 49er fleet. They're Corinthian sailors. This is their first time. It's Matthew Rickard and Andrew Tarbotten. And they've come an awful long way from South Africa to take part. They're in the 49er fleet, and here's why.
Hi, I'm Andrew Tarbotten.
And Matthew Rickard.
Andrew, what are you expecting today? It was pretty tough yesterday.
Yes, it was indeed very tough, Lawrence. Today we're hoping for the wind to be a little bit lighter, where we can really focus on getting into the fleets rather than just survival sailing for us.
Was it really that tough, survival sailing?
For us it was. We haven't had a lot of time on the boat together, so we're really looking to get down to the nitty-gritty today, work on just the finer details and work our way up the fleet a bit, where we can actually race the guys.
And Matthew, how long does it take to establish a strong bonding relationship when you're sailing a 49er?
I would say it would take at least, you know, over a year to kind of get that sort of relationship going. You know, obviously we're quite a new crew. You know, we've both sailed with other people in the past, and we're still trying to work with each other at the moment. And I mean, it's quite a beast of a boat, especially when there's a lot of breeze. So for us to work out, you know, not just the things that are going on inside the boat, but outside the boat and stuff like that, it's all kind of a learning curve for us at the moment. That's rapidly increasing as well. I mean, just sailing with this kind of fleet, it's so top-notch. We're learning so much just by being here. Even though we might not be anywhere near at the front of the fleet at the moment, we're definitely gaining a lot from it.
What are the main skills that are required that help to develop that harmony and that telepathy between the two of you to work together as a well-oiled machine, if you like?
I would say probably the key point on a 49er is a fitness level. You know, people look at the boat and they see it as a high-performance boat, and yes, it goes fast enough, but the level of fitness is crazy. I mean, the crew, the amount of loads that they're having to work with, you know, you're wearing heart rate monitors and your heart rate is spiking all the way to the top quite regularly. You know, and once you've kind of got that level of fitness, then things tend to sort of in sync with each other. And it's also understanding what's going on with the boat. You know, you learn to feel the boat and you understand what you need to be doing, where you need to be, and, you know, pretty much that sort of stuff kind of gets you going a lot faster as well. So I think the main thing that we really need to be working on today, for instance, are, you know, our settings and stuff as well. We're still quite new with our settings and learning the rig and stuff like that, just trying to get our boat functioning fast from itself as well.
It was interesting watching from our commentary position on the slipway as the 49ers were going into the water yesterday, having difficulty getting them turned into wind. But once you've got into wind, the power, Andrew, that was generated, he was shooting for that harbour wall before you could blink an eye.
Indeed, Lawrence, it's incredible. I absolutely love the speed of the boat and the acceleration. It gives you such an adrenaline rush when you come around that top mark, you bear away and you put the kite up, and you just, before you even know it, you're right up there in top speed, flying along, skimming over the water. It's just phenomenal.
Where do you sail in South Africa then, and how do conditions and facilities compare here at Weymouth and Portland to where you sail at home?
Well, we were both based in Durban previously. I'm originally from Cape Town, and we used to both sail 29ers when we were younger, but I've been over in the UK for quite a while now, and I work at a sailing centre in the UK, actually.
Whereabouts?
In London.
Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, we haven't spent that much time sailing together in South Africa. We've actually probably spent, you know, maybe about 4 or 5 months there doing a bit of sailing, and now we're getting a new boat, our new boat, at the end of this regatta, and hopefully we can do some more sailing around here. But the conditions, I would say, can be quite similar. Obviously here you've got a hang of a lot more tide, when you get wind against tide, steep chop, that's slightly different stuff that we're not quite used to yet, especially in a boat like us. When you're going downwind, it's quite challenging at times.
Yeah. And I guess as an expectant Brit, I'm looking around to see how our Great Britons are doing. What's your assessment been of the Mark Asquiths and Paul Brotherton's, the Morrisons and the Rhodes, etc.?
You know, the British are all very strong. All of the teams, they got phenomenal programs set up in place, and it's really paying off dividends. And we're just honoured to be in the fleet with these guys, to be gaining experience from racing against the top guys in the world here. And yeah, it's they having a good battle between themselves. We enjoying being around with them and hanging out with the guys. And so I think, yeah, it's awesome. It's quite a good vibe.
And just finally, Matthew, looking ahead to today's racing, I mean, at times it did look quite hairy yesterday. I know in the Star Fleet they had about 6 masts that were broken. How hazardous is it out there when you've got gusting up to around 29 knots?
Well, on a 49er, that's kind of almost over the limit, really. I mean, once you hit 20 knots, these boats become a different animal. So anything that was blown yesterday was very challenging, not just for us, probably for the top crews as well. You did see a few of the top guys even fall over. So, yeah, I think that everyone's maybe a bit thankful that the wind has dropped slightly today. Give us a bit more of a chance to get some real racing in and not so much just hanging on for dear life.
Well, I hope it goes very well for both of you. Before I let you go, can I just ask what would represent a good day for you today?
A good day for us, it'd be to be right up in the mix with the guys, racing them boat for boat and not having to worry about just survival sailing.
And you, Matthew?
Yeah, I'm pretty similar sort of mind frame as that. Obviously, we don't want to be right at the back of the fleet. We'd like to be right in the middle of the fleet somewhere. We have had one good result so far in the regatta, and we'd like to try and get that again. So that's what we're going to aim for today.